Hey, everybody, and welcome to the True Crime Squad. This is Katie Weaver. I'm here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Christy Brower. Hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
And this, of course, is the trial update summary, of day 15.
Sure. Yeah.
For Chad
day
Daybell.
15.
Yeah. Holy shit.
If only that was a lot of the days
that right?
this trial is going to take, but it is not. Somebody asked me how I was hitting in there, and I'm like, well, we're into our fourth week, and yeah.
Third week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Third week. It's already blending together.
It is. It's going together very quickly, yeah.
But, well, today was anything but boring, but before we get into that, how are all of you? How are you? We got out of court early today. What did you do?
Laid on the couch. I don't know. I didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
I'm pretty beat by the end of court being over. I just like mentally am exhausted. So I generally just kind of rest for a while after that. I didn't do anything major at all. How about you?
A few things. Just got updated myself on a little trial that's going on in New York right now. And
That little trial. Yeah.
Checked into a few other things. Coburger judge said, go ahead and keep doing your dumb little surveys.
Oh, really?
He did. Which tells me that that's he's planning on moving this trial.
Well, duh.
He knows fucking well they can't do it
there. Of course he's going to move the trial. Mm-hmm. That county does not have anywhere near the size of potential juror base that is needed for the Coburger trial. I mean,
Yeah. For sure. I had every intention of going outside. I'm like, I'm going to go out front, going to do a little weeding, cleaning up of my front flower beds and stuff. And then I never did. I just discovered, I just fell down the rabbit hole of a few things I was studying. And no, I'm still doing a lot of studying of stuff I'm seeing from the AVAL group that I don't know when I will trot that all out because every day there's so much else going on. But one of these days there'll be a very down day or a day they end up taking off or something and we'll have a hot minute to like do some update stuff. So just know I really am looking on those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting stuff. I also started watching a really creepy, should be true crime, show called Baby Reindeer on Netflix. Anybody else watch Baby Reindeer?
I saw it. I haven't watched it, but I did.
I'm 3 episodes in, I think. Yikes. Wow.
We watched something on Netflix the other night, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was about a princess that was sacrificed to a dragon.
Oh.
That fought back. I can't remember what it was called. It was actually really good.
That's interesting. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
See, I was just trying to get away from it, but I never end up all the way away. I'm still in true crime every friggin' time.
Am I receiving telepathic translations from AVAL? I wish I was. It would be so much easier than what I'm doing.
Right?
Oh, we're talking about the Brian Coburger. Judge. I'm sorry. I should have made that more clear. We were talking about Brian Coburger.
Mm-hmm.
The other notorious Idaho case. Oh, dear. Carrington Jane says, I've heard that you'll need therapy after Baby Reindeer.
Yeah, I think that that's probably true because, wow, yikes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Joelle's husband watched the dragon show. Yeah, my daughter was home and made us watch it, and it was good. Hmm. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Here's my problem. Two of my kids have gotten connected with my husband on Fortnite. And so every night these fools are playing Fortnite. So there's no TV watching going on. You can sit in the living room and listen to the three of them banter back and forth and play, but I have no interest in such things. And yeah.
No, boring.
Oh, I usually just do a little more reading. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. Yeah. And cuddling dogs because, you know, this morning.
Well, yeah.
I'm watching the trial. I'm talking to clients on the phone in between. Just, you know, I publish a magazine on Tuesdays for my other side of my job. And I was trying to get that all, you know, published and out. So I had a lot going on this morning. And I can hear this banging around going on out in the living room, like slamming around. And I'm like, what is going on? I go out there and Nelly, our basset hound, has brought not a stick, like a branch in the house. I can't figure out how she got it through the doggy door or up the stairs doorway. Like this really, that's sans the banging, I'm guessing. But she had it on the floor in the living room and she was literally just beating the shit out of the living room with this huge stick. So, fortunately for her, her dad threw it out into the front yard so she can't bring it back in. But
the basset hound life, man, I'm not really here for it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Amber, you found the real life Martha and Darian from Baby Reindeer? Please say more.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that, but.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Donna, it's not super impressive. But I will send you a link. How's that? Oh, dear. Amy said my husband's aunt and uncle died unexpectedly at the end of last year, and we just got access to the properties. Oh, and I have been spending my evenings trying to put stuff, places, and organize chaos. Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. Whew, that sounds heavy and like a lot of stuff. It does.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So,
Fiona Harvey and Sean Foley. I'm going to send myself a Facebook message with those names right now. Because I got to, yeah.
Is this how you guys organize?
If you know, you know.
I send myself so many Facebook messages. And then I have to look at them later and wonder why I sent that.
But oh, Christy, I send myself all kinds of weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you and I send each other stuff all the time. Just holding on to this, just, you know. One thing to note, by the way, now that I said that, because I sent you a message a few minutes ago. There's a hearing tomorrow, a motion hearing.
Yeah.
So when court's over tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., there is a motion hearing. All the notice says is notice is given that a motion hearing has been scheduled in the above entitled case for Wednesday, April 24th at 3:30 p.m. before Judge Stephen W. Boyce. So we don't know who made the motions hearing or if this is just a stack of things that need to be dealt with. You know, just a bunch of housekeeping so that, I don't know, maybe a few less sidebars. Yeah. Yeah. Well, should we get into it? Because, wow, today. Let's do.
But, hey, GSI, no. Baby Reindeer, not teen friendly. It's an adult show.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Now we know. All right. Well, we started the day with David Warwick.
Oh, my God.
David, what the hell happened to you? Did you just not sleep last night at all?
Did his brain fall out in the tub?
Did you take a Valium when you woke up and he didn't bring it?
Yeah.
My God. He was like a different person. Yeah. He couldn't remember shit. He couldn't remember conversations that he had with the prosecutor yesterday.
Yeah.
And
it was horrible.
Pryor beat the shit out of him. It was really dumb, though, because Pryor's cross was an absolute... I don't think Pryor also remembered anything that was said yesterday, because he just re-asked him all of the same stuff they went over yesterday.
He just wants to keep tripping him up and blowing his credibility, I think.
I guess it was so pointless, and it went on forever. The bleeding was just... I didn't know if the bleeding was ever going to stop. There were a few objections from the state, but I felt like there could have been more. He was so aggressive and belligerent. Yeah, it was awful.
There was just no saving it.
Oh, man. One thing that they did do, they did finally, on redirect, they finally let him review a written document and to, you know, jog his memory of some things, because in truth Warwick didn't like Chad. He said he was very manipulative. He didn't like the way he thought he was the prophet or thought that he had some kind
of authority.
You mean
he didn't just say he was humble and kind and wonderful to dogs and puppies and children all across the land?
I nearly died. Oh, died.
When, every time Pryor said it, I was like, that is the grossest shit I've ever heard in my life.
He called Chad meek, humble.
Meek. And, that was the other one. I was like,
meek, humble, and deeply religious.
Yeah. Oh. So meek that he was telling people he's the real prophet. Mm-hmm. That's not meek.
Yikes. No. No, but see, he was taking the temperature of people that might fall for this or, go, you know, get in bed with this. Mm-hmm. And obviously David wasn't going to.
Mm-mm.
I think Melanie really wanted him to, you know, and validate her. Because Lori made Melanie feel special. She made Melanie feel popular. She made Melanie feel seen. And she didn't want to give that up. So she wanted David to get on board with that. And he was not having it.
No, he wasn't at all.
Yeah. He asked two times whether or not Melanie and David got married to avoid having to testify.
Yes. The accusations were gross and completely foundationless.
And inappropriate. The thing about that question is, and I wish he would have looked right at him and said, this is the third time I've testified in this case. So I guess if that was what I was doing, it sure didn't work.
Right?
What the hell? It was nasty. You can just almost hear the jury's buttholes pucker when he says some of these things. I just don't think he's getting the appreciation for his legal prowess that he thinks he is. I think he's coming across as really cringy, as a big bully, as disrespectful. He's so disrespectful to the police that it's just crazy. I don't think he's winning any points with the jury. I think the opposite. I think it's the absolute opposite. Yeah.
I really hope so. But man, he made David Warwick look like a complete buffoon.
Oh, it was so bad. Just so bad.
Yeah.
He did, of course, say that he was very angry with Chad and Melanie over the whole lying to the police thing. He didn't think that was all right at all. And really, he said that was the first, you know, really cued him into the idea that something was seriously wrong with the situation.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
Chad as a con man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's just very hard to know if the jury was able to even hear any of that after, you know, Pryor asked him again what date they got married, and he said a different day than what he said yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said December 10th yesterday, and today he said December 12th. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What person doesn't remember the day they got married? They've only been married for 4 years, not even quite 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't remember his anniversary? Shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And language of horses, I hope you're right. And I think you probably are, that the jury at this point probably just feels bad for David. He's obviously a well-intended man who actually did give a flying fuck about JJ beyond what a lot of other people obviously did not. And really did care. But man, his mind is a scary place.
It is. It is. Yeah.
So when he was all done, torturing and dancing all over David Warwick's face, they went ahead and let him go and called Brandon Boudreaux to the stand. And Brandon, what a freaking
hero in this case. We needed some good news on the on the prosecution side.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. So here we are. We have Brandon. Brandon tells the story, of course, of the shooting where he was nearly killed, where Alex shot at him in his Tesla and exploded the driver's side window, and talked about his divorce and how Melanie had changed a lot, you know, in that last year. And how she had gotten really sneaky and dishonest with him. Talked about the fact that she'd set a goal to visit the temple every single day, which was a really weird that I've heard this before about her, but I just to make this clear, nobody goes to the temple every day. temple services isn't right. What's the right word?
Ordinances.
Yeah. Or a session. Sessions.
Sessions.
Temple sessions are at least a few hours long. That's not a drive-by. That's a commitment. Melanie had little children at home, like kids that weren't even in school. And she's going to the temple every day? That is bananas. Yeah. And he thought it was bananas. He was really concerned about that and why she was trying to do that.
Yeah, it's real weird. It, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, older, like elderly people that volunteer at the temple might go every day, but people with kids and lives, no. Like once a month for most people. Mm-hmm. Is you know, fully adequate. There are some once a week, you know, there are once a weekers too, but every day?
Well, and I don't know if she was going to the Phoenix Temple or if there's a Gilbert Temple, but it's very unrealistic, but it's also most of the temples are really busy and probably don't want you there every day.
Yeah.
But to put that in perspective, Rexburg's temple is so busy that we're getting another one. Yeah.
Yikes.
Which is astonishing to me. But people are saying that it's so busy that it's very hard to get in there to do temple work, to get married and things like that. And so they're actually building a second temple. It's very odd. Yes, Fran, it's also very odd that she wanted to go to the temple constantly without Brandon and to church regularly. Only Brandon. So Brandon was going to church. She didn't like going to church.
Mm-hmm.
But she was going to the temple daily?
I know. It was weird. It mm-hmm. didn't track at all. That just doesn't track. You know, the one Candace, thing I have think... to...
Oh, I was just going to say, Candace, I think you're making a very good point. She said, I wonder what mm-hmm. she was doing there. I have a feeling she was up to crazy stuff like Chad and Lori. Agree.
Oh, I think she was. I think
she was trying to receive revelation. I think that a lot of this was trying to get her own visions and her own stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. What would you even be doing?
I can't imagine.
I can't either. Well, I was going to comment on something. What was it? Well, damn. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know.
My brain's it'll come to you.
Tired.
Yeah.
Oh, Teresa, Teresa said, I bet the jury doesn't understand that time commitment unless they're LDS. Here's the thing you got to understand about a Boise jury. If they're not LDS, they know LDS. They have family members or coworkers. Like mm-hmm. all of the folks on that jury are going to be fairly familiar.
Yeah. With I think Teresa lives in Boise, general... actually.
Do you? Well, I think they'll all be generally, pretty familiar just from living around so many LDS people.
Yeah. There's three LDS churches in Gilbert, but temples. I'm thinking this had to have just been the Phoenix Temple, but I don't know how many temples are in Arizona.
I'm not really sure. Yeah.
But because the temple and the church are different things. But
yeah.
I didn't know until recently that they were attending the temple in Rexburg too, Chad and Lori,
mm-hmm.
up
mm-hmm.
until the time that the kids disappeared together. That's it's really weird.
Weird. What were they? They were just doing their weird mm-hmm. spin-off stuff. They weren't there for the reasons that most Mormons go to the temple, I don't think.
Oh, Carolyn says there is a Gilbert temple. Okay. Thank you, Carolyn.
Oh,
I appreciate that. Okay.
Oh, that is good to know. Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So that's why the whole temple thing was odd to me. Then Brandon talked, of course, about his connection to the kids. Brandon mm-hmm. loved the kids. He had a really special relationship with Tylee. Brandon mm-hmm. baptized Tylee. So in the LDS church, when kids turn 8, they have the opportunity to be baptized and fully join the church. And typically their dad baptizes them, unless their dad is not worthy to baptize them or hasn't attained the right level of the priesthood to baptize them. And see, Charles was a convert to the LDS church and wasn't super active and had not been through the temple and didn't, you don't have to go through the temple, I don't think, to be able to baptize, but maybe you do. I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't think so, right?
I don't think
you just have to have mm-hmm. Well, no, I think you only have to have the, I don't know, the Aaronic priesthood, I think. But anyhow, but for whatever reason, Charles chose to.
Well, that would be, yeah, no kidding, because missionaries. Okay, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So anyway, but for whatever reason, Charles did not baptize Tylee and Brandon. So Brandon did. And so they shared that. And he liked Tylee as a human, you know? Oh, a priest. Okay. Thank you, Sherry. At any rate, he loved Tylee. And I think genuinely took interest in her and cared about her in ways that some other people don't. But so he baptized Tylee. But JJ, so they had a son that was around JJ's age. It was interesting the way he described JJ's today, that if JJ's coming over, you pretty much have to kid-proof and get the house ready, that you can't take your eyes off JJ. He said he's not a kid you can just leave to play at his own, to his own devices. You can't do that. You have to keep your eyes on him all the time.
Right.
And that's the,
Yeah, he said if you were watching JJ, that was your whole day. That was all you did.
That was your job. Yeah. And we had heard this before, but when they found the kids, Brandon got a call. And I'm not sure if it was, did he say it was a deputy that called him? I wasn't sure if he made that clear.
He said that he actually is not sure who it was. That he was so thrown by that call that he wasn't even sure who called him.
Yeah. So he received a call and he went, he came to Rexburg. He just felt like he needed to be here. And he was the one who identified JJ. So he went to part of the state lab that's in Pocatello, or well, part of not the state lab, the FBI lab, and they showed him pictures of JJ, and he was able to identify JJ. Yeah. And it absolutely gutted him. My gosh, last year on when he was on the stand with Lori, he cried so hard about that it was just gut-wrenching. He kind of did this year too. I mean, it's just, it's horrible. It's a horrible memory that he'll never, ever forget. Yeah.
But he was one of only a handful of adults that stood up for those kids. And he was one of very few who actually had something to say about Tylee. And somebody just said, you know, there's so much about JJ and Tammy and there's so little about Tylee. And it's because there's, besides Colby and Aunt Annie, there's really nobody left for Tylee.
No.
You know, because the Coxes don't really have anything to say about these kids at all. So it's really sad, but she doesn't really have much family left.
Actually, Summer has spent this last year posting on Facebook quite a bit about the kids, and particularly Tylee. Yeah, I think she's really tried. Yeah. Summer, who, by the way, is apparently going to CrimeCon.
Oh.
Okay. Then you better talk about Tylee a lot. It's not that JJ doesn't deserve it too, but JJ has the Woodcocks. And they've been very gracious towards Tylee too, but they hardly knew Tylee. She wasn't their grandchild.
Yeah, they really didn't spend much time with her.
Me too, Shelley. Me too. So a couple of things had happened with Melanie that was just really eroding their relationship. His grandfather died unexpectedly of a heart attack, and she refused to go to the funeral and got really nasty about it. She accused him of hacking Lori's computer.
Yeah.
That like literally was just based on nothing, like paranoia. She also accused him of being gay. They didn't fully get into the story today, but what that's about is that at some point there's a picture of him at a gay bar with some friends from quite a few years ago. Now, Brandon served a mission, got married in the temple, like.
Had four kids with Melanie.
Four kids with Melanie. Brandon's not gay. No. But obviously that's what she was being fed to try to. Lori clearly was trying to ruin their marriage and get Melanie away from him. And it worked. Yeah, because again, Brandon wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid and Brandon had been really good friends with Charles.
Yeah, he just couldn't. He just couldn't see what the hell was going on with all of this and buy into it the way the rest of them did. Yeah. You know who I think we're going to see on the stand tomorrow, and that's Brenda Dye.
Yeah,
the coroner.
Yep. I'm so scared. Yeah.
I know. I am too. I hate this for her. It's so not fair. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, then we know they divorced. And then, of course, we know that, you know, Charles had some serious concerns about Lori's mental health. But everybody just kind of fell apart, you know, that year. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Charles died. And then he never saw Lori and the kids again. Pryor didn't try much with Brandon.
Wisely.
I think he knew he was not the one, because his cross on Pryor was, or on Brandon, was actually super short.
It was. And
wasn't much of an anything. So.
But the big reminder about all of that, I think, are the emails that Charles had been passing along, because he was worried about Lori's mental health, mm-hmm. included a dark light rating of Brandon by Chad Daybell. And Brandon yep. had never even met Chad Daybell, didn't have a clue who he was, but yep. he had rated him dark. Remember, there was a list of names. Brandon's name was on it with a D next to his name.
Yeah.
So I wish that had been maybe brought forward a little bit stronger on the part mm-hmm. of the prosecution, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Chad was out there rating Brandon dark. Mm-hmm. And then, geez, someone driving Charles Vallow's Jeep mm-hmm. tried to kill him. Yeah. Like, come on. That doesn't take a lot of math to do. I can do that math. And I went to Madison High School in Idaho, where all I learned was the one potato, two potato song. So pretty easy math.
I'd take you some red spuds, some fingerlings. How'd you get there?
Right. I know. It wasn't very many.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that was pretty much Brandon. One thing I forgot about David. You guys might be meeting Ron Arnold yourselves.
I was dying. Oh, dying when Pryor said that and called mm-hmm. him by his full name.
Mm-hmm. That yeah. sure sounded to me like he's on the witness list.
He yep. is.
I am 10 out of 10 here for that one.
Terrible.
I know. Yeah.
We're going to get pretty snarky, but that's okay. It's not today.
We'll see what's up. We'll see. So after that, then, let's see. Who was after Brandon? Ryan Piller. So Ryan is with the Gilbert, Arizona Police Department. He was, and this was Ingrid Beatty on Cross or on Direct. And we haven't seen Ingrid very much. So that was kind of nice to get a little mm-hmm. taste of Ingrid. I liked her.
Yeah, but we were talking about the realtor, Ron Arnold.
Yes.
Yeah.
The realtor.
He may end up on the stand. That's yesterday. What we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ryan Piller, he was the one of the officers that responded when Brandon Boudreaux was shot at mm-hmm. and just basically explained that. Mm-hmm. There was some talk about Alex's gun, and then you know, we're going to get more into that with the whole paintball, not paintball gun controversy. But in case you're wondering, no the paint. Gun in question.
God damn it.
Yeah. The gun in question is a 6.5 Grendel. It looks something like this. You'll see it. We're going to see the actual gun itself a little later in the trial, and you'll see pictures of it too. But this is essentially what it is. Alex had also put some kind of a homemade silencer on it. So we're not, we think it was actually the scope that she might have thought was a paintball hopper.
Mm-hmm.
But
because some paintball guns are that style of gun.
Well, yeah, I've seen a ton of paintball guns that look just like this. Yeah.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. So that's, in case you're curious about the gun in question, this would be the same gun that shot at Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And that shot at Tammy. If it wasn't a paintball gun, but we'll get there. It's all right. We'll
talk about it. Oh my God. Yeah.
So, well, yeah, Ron will be, he'll be coming for the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the state's calling him. I think the defense is calling him.
But they're trying to impeach some more of what Mel Gibb and David Warwick are saying. They're trying to really impeach their testimonies with stuff because mm-hmm. Ron was there with them for part of that one visit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So Ryan Piller, that wasn't a lot. I mean, mostly they just talked about, you know, they continued to survey, keep some surveillance on Alex Clear until he died.
Yeah.
They said when they searched his home, they found guns, clothing, literature authored by Chad Daybell, Chad's dumb books. Mm-hmm. And in his truck, they found gun paraphernalia, which is all pretty crazy considering how many guns he left in Rexburg.
Right. And his patriarchal blessing was also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That cracked me up. That cracked me up. But, you know, I think it's important to remember that this investigation had already landed in Rexburg well before anybody knew anything about the kids, because that's where the Jeep ended up.
Mm-hmm.
And they tracked it by license plate. They knew it was in Rexburg.
Speaking of stupid ass criminals, and what you're going to learn, we haven't learned it yet in this trial, but what you're going to learn, you might be wondering, how does this tie back to Chad? Right? Well, Lori had a storage unit in Rexburg. You know that, right? You've heard that. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of you guys, this is not new news for, but some of you it will be. There is CCTV video, security video from the storage unit of Chad and Lori coming in and out of the storage unit, putting the kids' stuff in there, putting various things in there. But most importantly, the Jeep's back seat. So they pulled the back seat out of the Jeep and put it in the storage unit. And then Alex and whoever was driving the Jeep, which we've never established, went to Arizona, shot up Brandon, and then came back to Rexburg. And a day or two later, they show back up at the storage unit and put the seat back in the Jeep. And Chad
was part of the tire.
And the spare tire. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And Chad was there for that. Yes. We all know because he patted Lori on the butt on video. Mm-hmm. Gross.
Yep.
Gross.
Yeah, but that was really early because East Idaho News actually obtained that before the police did.
Yeah.
And so they had aired those videos before they were ever in evidence. So we'd seen them like very early in the investigation.
Yeah.
And so people were like, this is while Chad was still married. This is while Tammy was still alive. And he's coming out of that storage unit, patting Lori on the ass. Like, what are their kids thinking now? Well, who knows? But that was basically, but that's what they're going to use to tie Chad to this part of the story, is that he was a part of helping move the Jeep's tires.
He was there before and after.
Yeah.
GSI, yes, that is why we call Lori the Golden Vagina.
Uh-huh.
That's been our name for her for 4 years, practically. Lori, GSI says, Lori's cookie must be made of 24 karat gold. Her cookie was so good that this man guided her and they both murdered so many people. Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty tarnished now, we are suspecting, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, after Piller, we get Deputy Coulter Cannon. Coulter Cannon is from the Fremont County Sheriff's Office. He's a school resource officer and a patrol deputy. And he was a part of attending when Tammy was shot at with the whatever.
Yeah.
The paintball / Grendel 6 or 6.5 Grendel.
He's kind of a dum-dum.
Oh, dear God. He was not very prepared. I by the end, I was like, okay, Cannon, I think I get it. I do. You're doing okay. He refused to agree to things. But Pryor pulled a really shitty thing on him, a really dishonest thing. I hope the jury caught what that was. I think that the prosecution should have gone back harder on that than they did.
Mm-hmm.
But what we did hear today was Tammy's 911 call. That was kind of interesting to hear Tammy's voice. And so there were two 911 calls. Joseph Murray, Tammy's stepson, who lived across the street from them, called 911. And Tammy did as well. Or son-in-law, yeah. And so do you want to, we've got both of those. Let's pull those up.
So listen very closely to Tammy's, because you'll realize what Pryor pulled on Cannon. But it's going to be Joseph's and then Tammy's.
Nine one one,
Lake Emergency. Yes. So my mother-in-law, who lives in Columbus,
what had just gotten home about 10 minutes ago, was unloading her car, and she thinks a man, but she's not 100% sure she didn't see, because they were wearing a ski mask, came up to her with a paintball gun, but they started shooting at her. It wasn't loaded, so it didn't, he didn't know if he came out of it. But he kept asking what he was doing, he would respond. And then suddenly, after she pulled out her husband's hair, he ran off with her.
Okay, where? What's the address? Are you there? Hello? Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you. What's the address?
It's 199 North, 1900 East, Rexburg, Idaho, 83440. That's my address. She lives in California. I don't know what her address is.
Okay, I need her address. What's her location?
I think it's 201, I think is her address.
201 North, 1900 East?
North, yep.
Does she know which direction he ended up running?
He headed east, back behind their house.
Okay, and did she give you a description of the clothing?
I didn't get one from her. I don't know about it.
And what is your name?
My name is Joseph Murray.
Okay, is this a good look or a good phone number for you?
Yep.
Okay, I am sending a deputy out to your mother's home.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for the record, Your Honor, I would next play 232B, the dispatch call from Tammy Daybell.
Very well.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 49 minutes,
20 seconds.
Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
Hi, I need to report something.
Okay, go ahead. What's the address?
Okay, at 202 North, 1900 East, the corner with the blinking yellow light on Salem Highway.
Is it a suspicious person?
Yes.
Okay, what was he wearing?
He was all dressed in black and he had a ski mask on.
And he said the blinking light now is where you saw him?
No, he's gone now because I pulled up into our driveway and I was getting stuff out of the backseat of my car and suddenly he was there and he had a paintball gun and he was
okay. And
he was going to shoot at me. And I kept asking him what he was doing because I could tell it was a paintball thing.
Okay.
And then he just kept doing it. So I yelled for my husband and then he took off running around the back of my house.
Okay. Give me just 1 minute. Stay on the line with me.
Okay.
October 9, 2019. 21 hours, 50 minutes,
28 seconds.
That was North 1900 East?
Yes.
October 9, 2019. 21 hours, 50 minutes,
43 seconds.
What direction he was going?
He went behind my house and it's so dark out here and I just went in the house and got my husband and son and then they went out and looked and he was long gone by then.
Okay.
So he was on the north side of my house is where he went to get away.
Okay.
He didn't say anything or he just kept at, like he was holding the gun like he was, you know, had a rifle and just shooting at me. So, but nothing.
So they're out in the area looking now.
Okay, yeah, I think it was my son-in-law who lived diagonal from us that called you guys already.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to make sure it got reported. So,
let's see. And what's your son-in-law's name?
Joseph Murray.
Okay, yep, it was him.
Okay.
So, all right, I have a deputy that will be out at your home here shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay. He said, she said right at the end, he was holding a gun, it looked like a rifle, and was shooting at me.
Mm-hmm. But when Pryor finished crossing, his first name is Coulter. I can't remember his last name right now. Cannon. However, he called him Officer Coulter several times. I don't know if you guys got that.
He's so disrespectful to the police.
Always disrespecting the police, calling them by the wrong title, the wrong name. I feel like it's very intentional. But anyway, he only played part of the call and cut it off and was trying to force Cannon to say that it was absolutely, he kept saying, wouldn't you agree with me that it was just a paintball gun? You know it's just a paintball gun. Mm-hmm. And Cannon's like, I don't know that. He's like, she said that, but then she said, no, she never said that. Where would she have said that? He goes, you cut off the call. Well, we'd already listened to the whole call with the prosecution, but what a sneaky move.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bev, I'm sure for anybody who knew Tammy, that was very jarring. Chad couldn't have given a shit, though.
No.
He didn't appear thrown by that in the least.
No. The only reaction he had was to his 911 call.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that, too. But at any rate, I wasn't sure what to think about Cannon. By the end of it, I was like, okay, he held his own. He was easier to trip up. Honestly, mm-hmm. I felt like Pryor harassed him until I can't imagine the jury wasn't over it. It was gross. It was inappropriate. It wasn't accomplishing anything. But see, he's desperate to throw out the idea that someone tried to murder Tammy. Because if he can throw that out, then it's a lot easier to get the jury to believe that she died of natural causes.
Right.
It's pretty freaking damning when 10 days before she died, somebody snuck in, you know, to her yard and tried to shoot her.
Right.
So.
But yeah, when you hear that 911 call, you realize she didn't say paintball gun the whole time. She wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. It looked like a rifle and he was trying to shoot me. Yeah. But for the love of God, will one of them just point out that part of the reason they don't know or think it was a paintball gun is there was no paint. There were no paintballs. If you shoot a paintball gun, there should have been paint splattered on Tammy's car, herself, her driveway.
Right. There's no friggin' paint.
Or even unspent paintballs around. Nothing. Nothing at all.
And in neither trial has that come up. In neither trial have they said, well, she said it was a paintball gun, but there was no paint. And there were no paintballs. Because, no, they didn't find any. Mm-hmm. But why don't they say that in front of the jury?
Right.
I mean, it's so obviously not a paintball gun if there's no paint.
Right. That would sink in. I don't know why they don't. No one's ever asked that. And every time we go, why aren't we like, and I think maybe it's because they also didn't find any shells of any guns or of any bullets. So maybe they just don't want to open that door. Maybe that's what's true. But
I mean, yeah, I mean, it was a.
If it misfired, maybe not. But Tammy had said that she heard a whoosh, right? She said that she had heard a whoosh. And if the gun, if it was a paintball gun, then a whoosh makes all the sense because they're run by compressed air. There is a whoosh. If it was the Grendel and he had that homemade silencer on it, she still may have heard a whoosh. So the question has always been for me, is it that the Grendel jammed because he built some Chad or Alex wasn't a munitions guy. He didn't know what he was doing. And so I'm not really sure why the, you know, in Chad's, all of his wisdom, he decided that Alex needed to be the warrior guy, but, you know, at any rate, he did. So to me, I don't know. I don't know. I'm still torn on it, but they will show you later on in the trial when the FBI guns guys come out and they show the gun that there is a whoosh with that gun when the silencer is working.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Teresa. Pryor made a huge deal about Cannon having to add to his report 2 months later, which
accused him of changing it to make it sound like it was Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From what we understand, when your superiors might go through, and audit your reports, they may ask you to add some details or to flesh something out more because it's not long enough. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like that's what happened in this case. Also, they have the prerogative to do that. One of the things that Pryor keeps doing is kind of accusing the police of doing things that aren't okay, that actually are. The big one right now is the vest cam. We just keep hearing him hammer on these guys for not having a vest cam. In one case, somebody's was broken. In another case, somebody's was charging at the time. Here's the thing. At the time in Fremont County, it was not a requirement to wear a vest cam. And so some of these guys were wearing them. Some of them weren't. Some of them were wearing them part of the time, kind of testing them out. It wasn't a requirement. It's not a state law. They don't have to wear them. And so why he keeps hammering on that, it's gross. He's indicating to the jury that they're breaking the law or doing something really wrong. They're actually not at all. Not at all.
No, they're not. They were not violating any of their own policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the way he was like, oh, was yours broken too? Or the other guy, it was broken, but you just never bothered to get a new one? The way he talks to the officers is so disrespectful. And again, any of those jurors that are black, back the blue guys, they aren't liking this. They don't think it's okay.
Yeah. It pisses me off because, and we're talking about a little tiny sheriff's department in Idaho, and we are 20 years behind everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I want vest cams on all police. I think that that is an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. But you're going to kick the shit out of this kid on the stand because he was doing his job and not doing it illegally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they're done with Cannon and they bring on Officer Allie Greenhalgh. So Allie is one of the officers that was present the morning that they called 911 and said that Tammy was deceased. Yeah. She was the first one there. Somebody asked about the dispatcher. Yes, the dispatcher that was the dispatch on the call when they called 911 is Vince Kayakamanu's sister, Helena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Daddy Kayakamanu to some of you. Yeah. Helena. Helena did testify at Lori's trial. I would assume we'll hear from her again, but maybe not. They already played the 911 call last year. Last time they played it with her. This time they played it with Allie, so maybe they won't. But at any rate, they were both at Fremont for a long, long time. And now she's still at Fremont, though she's not a dispatcher anymore. She's gone through post. So she worked her ass off.
Oh.
She's awesome. And Vince, of course, has now come to Madison County. So things have changed a little in the last 4 years, but that's kind of where things are. So do we have Chad's 911 call?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do that now. Keep an eye on Chad.
Yes. I've cut this down so that it's just Chad and Pryor in the frame. It's pretty fuzzy because their cameras suck, but I want us to be able to watch his reaction.
911, where is your emergency?
We're at 202 North, 1900 East.
What's going on?
We just found my mom. She's on the ground frozen, or she's stiff, and I don't know.
Are you in Madison County or Fremont County?
Hello, I'm Chad, the husband. She's clearly dead.
Sorry. Okay. Okay. Are you in Rexburg or? Because your address shows Rexburg County. Address, but you're in Fremont County.
It's a mile past.
Okay.
Oh no.
Okay.
Yeah, she's not even, she's frozen.
Okay, can I get your name?
Chad Daybell. Oh, man.
Okay, Chad, I'm going to get somebody up to you right now, okay?
You have a corner where the blinking yellow light is with the red house.
Yes, sir. Red house on the corner.
Yes.
Blinking yellow light.
Right.
Okay. We'll get somebody out to you, okay? I'm so sorry.
Okay.
If you need anything else, you call me back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take your big tears and shove them up your ass, Chad. Are you kidding me?
I know. In the call, in the video. Right. He's sort of weirdly smiling. I think that too, Sherry. Mm-hmm. He's like trying to fake it. And Pryor pats him on the back and he takes the Kleenex. It was so fake. He did
but
look
that was
smart.
Over.
I thought so too.
He did. And that was over in a flash. But the whole time I'm watching that and listening to that call, I'm thinking, but this is Harry Potter that's living under the Dursley stairs and can't be wait to be free to be with his goddess, Elena.
Right. If this call was coming from my house, I would be frantically screaming for the paramedics.
Yeah.
I would be doing CPR. Mm-hmm. Chad just pronounces her dead and moves on. Can think about if this happened to you and your spouse, you would be begging for medical because you would not be able to immediately admit that this person is dead. There is no fucking way on the planet of Earth that you would be like, well, they're obviously dead.
Yep.
Awful.
Yeah. Awful, awful. And poor Seth is so shocked. He's like,
he doesn't
I don't
even
know
what to say.
Right? Like, he didn't even know his name at that point. Like, he
well,
couldn't
that,
even
she's frozen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
Christy Music
one
wants
time,
us to
Christy?
Play it again.
All
okay.
Right.
It is quick. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's try it. Go one more time.
911, where is your emergency?
We're at 202 North, 1900 East.
What's going on?
We just found my mom. She's on the ground frozen, or she's stiff, and I don't know.
Are you in Madison County or Fremont County?
Hello, I'm Chad, the husband. She's clearly dead.
Sorry. Okay. Okay. Are you in Rexburg or? Because your address shows Rexburg
County.
Address, but you're in Fremont County.
It's a mile past.
Okay.
Oh no.
Okay.
Yeah, she's not even. She's frozen.
Okay, can I get your name?
Chad Daybell. Oh, man.
Okay, Chad, I'm going to get somebody up to you right now, okay?
You have a corner where the blinking yellow light is with the red house.
Yes, sir. Red house on the corner.
Yes.
Blinking yellow light.
Right.
Okay. We'll get somebody out to you, okay? I'm so sorry.
Okay.
If you need anything else, you call me back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh. So
where's the grief? Where's the freaking out, the panicking, the screaming, the CPR?
Frankly, I think I'm Chad, the husband, is weird. But you're right. The only empathy he shows is for himself. He has never cried. He didn't cry when they showed Tammy's autopsy photos. No. He didn't cry when they talked about digging dead children out of his yard. He has not cried over anything. He also didn't cry today when they showed
today.
Yeah, the show photos of Tammy. He only cried when he heard his own tears.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right, in sequence with the call. Mm-hmm. I put a link in the chat room. Just wanted to remind you that Tammy Douglas Daybell was murdered, and her family formed a foundation for her. Tammy was a librarian. She loved books. And so after her death, they formed a foundation for her in which they provide books to children. So I put a link in the chat room. You can also find it online. It's the Tammy Douglas Daybell Foundation. And we will make a donation to them when this trial is over, like we did last year with Lori's. But anybody who wants to should do the same. But the link I put is actually to their Facebook page, because they've been posting daily. And they put up a really sweet post just today about Tammy and her love of ducks. And how her love of ducks is... And she had ducks. She had a little flock of ducks at her house. That I'm not sure where they ever went. Nope, I could never get a straight answer on where they went. But at any rate, after she died, they disappeared. I'm sure Chad really didn't need to be taking care of ducks. But, you know,
he's on too her busy with his goddess lover.
Yeah. Her Gross. Headstone is a mama duck with five little ducklings.
Yes.
But this is a picture that was drawn. I wish I could tell you the name of the author, artist. I can't remember. But she was one of the sketch artists that I think this is the one that volunteered her time to Lori's trial. But
yeah,
Tammy and her ducks. So the way this played out with Allie, who I thought did a really, really good job. She stood her own quite well, I thought, with Pryor and in general. One of the things, of course, Pryor wanted to do is hammer on all of the different medications that were found in the house. We keep going here, but Pryor, have you forgotten that there is a tox screen? Right. You can say all of this stuff all you want, that there was cough medicine. There was anxiety medicine. There were essential oils and herbs and Tylenol. What was in her system? None of that.
No.
None of that.
No, see, there was cold medicine there. She was sick. Not in the tox screen. She didn't take it.
No.
And I mean, if someone came into your house and like went into your medicine cabinet in your bathroom, they would find all kinds of things, right? Right. It doesn't mean you're taking all of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just was so ridiculous.
It's a very weak defense that I don't think is going to get him anywhere. But, of course, he keeps moving on to that. So
he hammers on the essential oils thing, too, until I'm like, dude, I don't think you know what they are or what people use them for at all.
I keep going, okay, which ones? Come on, which ones? Say the names. Say the names.
Well, see, she had a respiratory blend sitting there. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So?
So do I. So?
Yeah, I have one too.
Unless she was guzzling those essential oils, they definitely didn't kill her. And even then, they probably didn't.
Right.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
The talk screen has been, well, it's been discussed.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't actually heard from the medical examiner that did her autopsy yet.
Yeah. No, but one of the things Pryor did today is he kept referring to things from the coroner's report when talking to the officer, who had to keep redirecting and saying, that wasn't in my report, that was in the coroner's report. Well, I don't know, I didn't write that, that was in the coroner's report. He just kept doing it. I'm like, again, you are totally unprepared. Like, what are you doing?
You don't even know who you're talking to. Well, and she kept saying, that's not what he said to me. You know, all of this, you know, because Tammy was in such terrible shape, having all of these seizures and fainting spells and all this stuff. And really, well, why weren't you loading her up and taking her to the emergency room, dummy? Yep. You know, it just, it's bullshit, all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. But yeah, there was all this confusion about what this officer had experienced and what Chad had told her. He wanted to know, was Chad the most upset person in the house? And she's like, well, the people I talk to. So he was the most upset.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I mean, of the people I talk to, like she talked to him and Garth, basically. Well, what about his daughter? And she's like, I didn't talk to his daughter. I felt like Pryor was confused. I don't feel like he was trying to trip her up in that. It seemed to me like he was confused and honestly had no idea what he was talking about, because he just kept mixing up information from various reports.
Right. Yes. And he released her from her subpoena because he screwed up. He subpoenaed the wrong person.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And so, yes, she was released from her subpoena. Again, I felt like she did a good job. You know, she
I did too.
Kept redirecting him. Now, when they got ready to show pictures from the crime scene, from Tammy's crime scene, they did opt to not show those to the audience. And I am so very glad that that's what they did. I noticed that after her exhumation photo was shown earlier in the trial, that some YouTubers had cropped it and were showing it and bandying it about Twitter. I don't think that needs to happen. I think that's very disrespectful to Tammy. You won't ever see us do that.
People who love her.
Yeah.
You don't want to come across that photo by accident somewhere. Yep. Like, come on.
Yeah. Also, these pictures are, we saw them last year. You guys, like, nobody needs to see this. It's awful. It's as bad as you think. So I'm glad, really glad they chose to not air those. But so that was today. That was.
Well, and some of the things that came out with Greenhalgh that we need to remember. Tammy had lividity that said that she died laying on her back.
Yes.
Also, she was cold and in rigor, which takes, what, like 4 to 6 hours?
About 6 hours, yeah. Yeah.
Because he's trying to say she fell out of bed at 5:30 in the morning and died. But there is no way that anything about her body actually shows that.
Yep.
He pushed her body out of bed at 5:30 in the morning to make a thump so he could yell for Seth and put on this dumbass show.
Garth. But yes.
Her autopsy does not track with that timeline at all. And you'll see when we get there that Alex's phone was at that house from 11:30 till about midnight that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was dead for hours, guys. Hours. Yeah. And he was trying to push it off like it had just happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Garth,
she was laying flat. Because she had lividity in her back and in her legs.
Garth was working at a local spook alley, the haunted forest that's right out by them. Terrifying, by the way. But he got home about midnight, meaning Alex did this with Chad and was out of there right before Garth came home.
Yep. So they did push it a little bit today, but it's going to come a lot more when the medical examiner who did her autopsy, that's when all of this, so that he will talk about what he actually sees in the body, not what all this bullshit is.
Yeah. Thank you, Deborah, for the sticker. The other thing that you're going to learn later on from the FBI is what Tammy's phone was doing. Tammy had been playing a game on her phone.
Yeah.
That abruptly stopped right about that time.
Yeah.
Which to me says Tammy wasn't asleep. She wasn't asleep in her bed and they snuck in her bedroom and put a pillow over her face. Tammy was wide awake. Yeah. That turns my stomach. My stomach has hurt all afternoon.
Well, when that came out in Lori's trial, I remember realizing when they started talking about the timeline that, she was awake.
Yeah.
She absolutely fully knew what was happening.
Yeah. No, nobody was at home. I think at that point, Garth was the only one living there, wasn't he? The youngest was still on his mission. Right. Emma lived across the street.
Well, Seth, because Seth was there in the morning. So I think Seth was living there.
I think one or the other of us might be confusing Seth or Garth. I'm not sure.
Well, isn't it Seth that was on the 911 call?
I thought it was Garth on the 911 call.
Oh, well, maybe I got it wrong. I don't know.
Maybe I do. Hell, I don't know. We've said all
I'm not sure. Maybe it was so Garth.
Many times.
That could very well be.
It was Garth. It was Garth. Yeah. Yeah, it was Garth. Okay. So that's what we're going to learn, you know, is about Tammy's phone. I remember when we learned that last time, it absolutely turned my stomach.
Yeah, because they could tell when the game stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awful. Well, and also they could tell because she was wearing a smartwatch.
Yes.
Remember? Like, mm-hmm. You know how you're, like, my watch is telling me my heart rate right now?
Yeah.
They know when she died.
I don't know that I think that Chad actually did the killing. I think that Alex did. It doesn't matter. Chad was present. Chad planned it. Chad
Tammy was a strong woman. It might have taken them both.
Maybe it took them both.
To hold her down.
Yep.
There's going to be some bruises come up. And, you know, Pryor tried real hard today to make those bruises be old bruises. But that deputy absolutely was having none of that. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what happens when we get Brenda Dye on the stand, but bruises on her arms and a bruise on her sternum, like, you know, mm-hmm. a knee.
Yeah.
Being pinned.
So there's the assistant coroner that we're probably going to hear from tomorrow. And we may very well hear from Brenda Dye tomorrow as well, the coroner. So the coroner actually lives in Island Park. Island Park is about, I don't know, 45 minutes away from Chad's house. And because Fremont mm-hmm. County is a big county per miles, you know, not per people.
It's a huge county. Yeah.
And so there was an assistant coroner that was more like in the St. Anthony area. So she was the one that responded. She's the one who Emma told, we don't want an autopsy. I don't want them doing that to my mom. Mm-hmm. And they didn't order an autopsy. And I know. For people from other areas, that might seem really shocking. It wasn't a light decision. You'll hear from Brenda that they discussed mm-hmm. it, that her body was actually taken to the morgue at Madison Memorial Hospital initially, and that there was a long conversation about whether or not an autopsy needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And eventually they decided that there did not, based on the information from the family who said she had been ill. And that's kind of how it all happened, but you'll learn all of that probably tomorrow. He's going to beat the shit out of Brenda Dye. He will.
Yeah.
And everybody else will too. The last trial was terrible that way. We've been really clear on that. Brenda is our cousin. She's a wonderful person. She's just doing her job. She's an EMT and has been for like 20 years, but she's not a doctor. And in Idaho, we don't. No, it's a dog barking out the window. I'm sure there's a cat in the crow feeder. They freak out. You know, I live in a zoo. At any rate, I think that, but what you have to understand is that in Idaho, they don't automatically do an autopsy for an unattended death. They should, but they don't. That's about
money. Yeah, it's not a given.
But also, our coroners are just elected. They're not trained. That you don't have to be a doctor to be a coroner. You just have to be elected.
Brenda's an EMT.
Coroner. Yep. For a short while, not a super long while. But Brenda just did her job according to how the job gets done. And it sucks and it's stupid. And I'm sure that this case will haunt her for the rest of her life. But
oh, yeah.
She just did her job. But you'll hear that she did do her due diligence. It's not like she was just like, oh, the family said no, then no. There was a long conversation with other medical professionals about whether or not an autopsy should be done, and the decision was no. But also know that Chad was aching to get that body transferred to Utah and in the ground as fast as he possibly could.
Which 3 days.
He did.
Yeah. 3 days he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely should be changed. The law is wrong. And frankly.
Oh, yeah. We could be here all night talking about Idaho law that's stupid, yeah. But this is a big one.
Mm-hmm. And the requirements for the coroner are wrong, but that is what we have. That's what we're working with. I can't even stand the thought of coroner or of Brenda on the stand with Pryor. It's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be bad. Yeah. I'm going to be breaking things. I can tell right now. No,
I don't know. Maybe he likes her because.
Maybe.
Maybe he's going to tell her she made the right call. I don't know.
Well, it occurred.
But any chance to be a dick, he takes it. So.
Mm-hmm. It occurred to me today that pretty much anybody who dug deeper into anything to investigate is on his list. He almost says it out loud, like, if you just left this alone.
Right.
How dare you dig into something and decide that my client was guilty? Yeah.
Yeah.
Leanne. Yeah. No, I think that it should be a doctor's. I think it should be a medical degree. Yeah, I do.
It should be a doctor. It's stupid as hell that it isn't.
Yeah, agree.
Well, and right. 3 days locally isn't a big deal, but 3 days they transported her across state lines.
Yeah.
And held a funeral for her in Springville, Utah mm-hmm. in 3 days. Mm-hmm. He just did it as fast as humanly possible with as little care as possible. Mm-hmm. Her family was stunned by the whole thing. They just didn't even know what to say.
Well, and the funeral itself, it's been said, was very strange.
Yeah.
Chad did a bunch of pontificating and bloviating, and mm-hmm. it's just really weird.
Well, remember, Lori was shopping for wedding dresses online mm-hmm. on the day of the funeral.
Yeah. Yeah. It also cheated Tammy's friends and like local friends out of being able to attend.
Yeah.
She was a school librarian, and it really cheated her colleagues and local ward members and friends from really even being able to get to her funeral. It all happened so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just didn't give a shit. They didn't even care. The school ended up doing their own thing for her because they didn't get to go.
Yeah.
Her coworkers. It's really sad.
Yeah. So yes, Brenda did travel to Utah and sit in on the autopsy that was eventually mm-hmm. done when she was exhumed. She yes, she was there for that. Yep. They played Put Your Shoulder to the Wheel at her funeral. Oh.
Oh my God. Like Tammy hadn't worked hard enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Been carrying Chad's dumb ass all these years.
Right.
No. So that was the end of today. So they did release her. Also, did they release her? I believe they did from her subpoena. So she's out mm-hmm. and we'll wait and see. So who's going to be up tomorrow? Well, we think it might be the assistant coroner and then Brenda Dye. You'll notice what they're doing right now is they're alternating. So we have a few like friends, family type people, and then we have a few professionals, and then we'll have a few friends, family type people. That's usually to keep the jury from getting too bored and also to help kind of keep the technical stuff and also the stuff that grabs at your heart kind of meshing together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's smart because we needed a little break after Brandon particularly because that was a very emotional testimony.
Yeah.
We were all really confused after David.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Tammy's sister was horrified at the funeral. It was just really weird. It wasn't right at all. Not normal. So Mormon funerals have a pretty specific tone.
Yeah.
You know, they're very similar, all of them. Mm-hmm. And hers was not. And it was so confusing to her family, like why this all happened the way it did. Yeah.
Right. Well, and just her burial and her headstone, not mm-hmm. what you would have expected out of a married in the temple Mormon couple at all. It was very clear that Chad had absolutely no intention of moving forward in his life connected to Tammy in any way.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to be buried there. That's for sure.
Yeah. So GSI wants to know if we think that Chad was drinking his own Kool-Aid and actually thought that Tammy was dark or possessed or something, and that it was her time, or was he just big horny idiot? Weigh in, you guys. What do you think?
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I think it was both.
I do too.
I think it was both. Mm-hmm. I do think that he was sipping his own sauce to some degree. I do.
Absolutely. And it's known that this was not the first affair he'd had.
Right.
You know, and Tammy didn't go to his speaking engagements and stuff. You could tell that she wasn't buying his hype about him being a prophet and all this shit. She was not into it. And I'm sure that that was a big part of it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Not us. Well, yeah, no, I think Chad believed both. I think he did. I think that he was talking himself into a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Well, he'd been talking for years about Tammy dying young long before he met Lori.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's actually really freaking weird. Can you imagine your spouse constantly telling other people that you're not going to live a long life and you're going to die young? The hell?
And it's hurtful and shitty.
Yeah.
And weird.
And terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the first affair? I don't know if we know for sure, but somewhere between 2016 and 2018, I think. Mm-hmm. When he really got in on doing all these speaking engagements and stuff, he had a lot of other women, Melanie Gibb included, that were pretty interested in him. And, you know.
Yeah. I do think she
had to know, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah, I do think she knew. But Chad made a lot of prophecies, right? So Tammy was probably like, all right. Well, okay then.
Yeah. He says a lot of things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she did go about her life like whatever. She really did. She just, it appeared to me that her life was completely separate from his. Uh-huh. And yes, Julie Rowe is definitely one of those, you know, pre-Lori ladies.
Mm-hmm. That were, it was definitely a part of Chad's life. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I read a AVOW post yesterday that indicate from that, Christopher Parrott had posted in 2016 saying that out of the blue, Julie Rowe and Chad showed up on his doorstep and wanted to discuss some things. So Julie was in Rexburg in 2016 canoodling with Chad. I'm not saying they were having an affair. I don't know that. But she was here then. Yeah. But he was publishing her books too, to be fair. But
he had known Melanie Gibb for a year before he met Lori.
Yeah. Yep. So here's some things I would like to see for Tammy. A couple things we didn't see in the last trial. I want them to bring her employer on the stand to share her attendance records.
Yeah.
If Tammy was so sick, how many days of school did she miss that year?
I'm going to bet it was none.
That week. Yeah. Leading up to her death. How many days did she miss? I would really like to see some of her other colleagues coming in and talking about Tammy and her health, her attitude, how she was doing. I'm hoping they'll bring friends, exercise partners. Maybe
whoever she was training for the marathon with.
Mm-hmm. Her visiting teaching partner. Anybody that she was spending close, encounters and time with, I hope they bring several of these people on the stand, these people who love Tammy, to talk about her health, what their observations were, because I think that's going to be really, really telling in kind of blowing Pryor's stupid theories out of the water. Yeah.
Yeah. E.H., you are totally right. Women slept with Keith Raniere of Nexium. And he, as E.H. says, he was also a gross, drippy guy. It's spiritual manipulation. And it is. It's true. Yeah, he had nothing going. He was, and those women were letting him brand them. I mean, it was awful. But yeah, that, you know, it's a, that spiritual power, that spiritual manipulation that, you know, some of these cult leaders have managed to develop. And he did, at least for a time.
Yep. Yep. Me too, Wink. We didn't get to hear enough about David's dream.
Yeah. I don't know if we're gonna. Unless, well, maybe, because Pryor is supposedly planning to call him back. Maybe he'll ask him about it.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll ask him a bunch of dumb more questions where neither one of them know what he's talking about.
That's very likely.
And can you believe he asked Brandon about vibration? It's energy work. The word is, the term is energy work. Vibration, no one knows what the hell you're talking about, dude.
Keep it up.
Like, at least get it right. It's so annoying. Oh, he just asked Brandon if he knew anything about working with vibration in his church. I'm like, oh my God. He said the same thing to David Warwick, and David Warwick was like, what?
What did he say?
The wrong term.
Was it to Brandon or David that he said there was an objection? And he said, it's okay, Judge. I'll move on. I was mostly just curious. And the judge said, you were asking the question because you were curious?
Yeah. Like,
the court really likes having their time wasted. Yes.
Yeah. Thrilled. Mm-hmm. Vibrators. Yeah. Right. I know. Do you think those men were wondering if that's what he meant?
Uh-huh.
Because he kept saying vibrations. But yeah, I know. They were all like, what?
Yeah. What does that even mean? Yeah.
He did ask about the group Seven Gatherers. He asked David Warwick again. Mm-hmm. And David Warwick again was like, I don't know what that is.
I got nothing. He didn't and bother with Brandon. Anyone else. I think he knew Brandon didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had posted in our chat when they got Allie on the stand that his first question is going to be, so how many of Melanie Gibbs' classes have you attended? Yes.
Right.
He is just determined that Melanie Gibb was out teaching all the classes.
Yeah. And no one's confirming that at all.
No one. Also, come on, man. We just sat through all this shit. We just sat through all this with Melanie. Yeah. Nobody is buying the theory that she's some kind of criminal mastermind. Nobody.
And yeah, all the dark portals stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, yeah. Melanie's class is about dark portals. David was like, well, since I've never seen her teach, no, I haven't.
Yeah, I know. David Even he knew the answer to that.
He had some bangers yesterday, but man, today, oh, holy Moses. Yeah, so poor David. I hope he was able to go home and rest, touch grass, eat food. Holy
take his meds. I don't even know. Yeah.
No, but see, now he and Melanie live in different states anyway, and it doesn't seem like they really talk. Mm-mm. It's interesting because when asked about each other, she says what? He's a righteous man. When he is asked about Melanie, he says she's a wonderful person.
Yeah. And that's all they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all very weird.
But because they are both still under subpoena, they can't talk to each other. Like, they're just not talking. But I don't think they were talking anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Jenny. Every single witness is going to be asked about Melanie Gibb. He's going to be asking FBI agents, have you ever attended a class? I know. It's crazy.
So bizarre.
Yeah. Pryor did kind of a weird thing. I mean, he subpoenaed a ton of people, like dozens of people. And most of them are people that were already subpoenaed by the state. And so the judge was kind of like, you don't, like, do it now. This is when you do it, you know? And Pryor's like, I'm going to keep them under subpoena just in case. It's not how most of these trials run. Not all, but a lot of the time you do it all at the same time, but he's not doing that. He's waiting. He's just trying to be a thorn
He wants to question them on direct. Mm-hmm. He wants to control what they're asked.
Yeah. Yep. So,
but yes, Melanie Gibb has really gotten under his skin. I think it's funny as hell.
Uh-huh.
Well, how many times did she say incorrect to him?
I don't know.
Pretty great.
I don't know. I can't remember. I don't know. It was like asking a teenager or something.
Sure. Yeah. It was funny.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. She is definitely. One of you said earlier that she was living rent-free in his head, and that is for sure.
He's
acting like there's two trials. Yep. It's just going to make this last a whole lot longer, but that is his prerogative. Because
in a way, there is two trials. If he's found guilty, then there's the trial to determine if he's going to get the death penalty.
Yeah.
We're never going to get there if he doesn't shut up.
Oh, good Lord. That's why we're going on Friday now, I really think. Mm. Yeah. Do you think she knew who, Berna? Are you talking about Tammy?
Yeah. She was telling people in their community, in their ward, their neighbors, stuff like that. I'm sure she did. Somebody was calling her up going, your husband needs reined in, probably.
I think she did know, yeah. I just, honestly, I think he had said so many wacky things to her over the years that she just wasn't listening that closely. Also, she seemed to just be kind of doing her own thing. But we'd had it on good authority that she was trying to leave Chad, but was waiting it out until their last kid got home from his mission. Yeah. And then she was not going to stay here. Well, the jury does not know that Lori was convicted. They're not allowed to talk about it. However,
they do know, though. I mean, it came up in jury selection.
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as in the trial itself, they can't talk about it. Oh, a fun and unrelated. Ian had asked earlier if we would be willing to share our tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Totally unrelated, but So, sure. I mean, I have way more than I'll show you here, but my visibles on my arms. Sure. I just have a goddess. How do you do it? I don't know. I have a goddess here. She actually has a... I don't know. She has a eternity swirl in the middle. And then I have a little sunflower on my wrist that is a mother-daughter tattoo. I can't get in front of the camera. I don't know what I'm doing.
There you go.
It's a mother-daughter tattoo that I got with my two daughters. They both have the same thing. And then on this arm...
Can't see. There we go.
No, let me try and go the other way. The crow... Wow. Maybe I should have just taken pictures, huh? There. There. How's that? Mm-hmm. So those are two crows. That's a memorial tattoo that several of us got. All our sisters and sister-in-law all got together when our parents died. So there's two crows there for the two of them. And then later I added all of the grid, the
flower of life, right?
And then the watercolor, and then this is a lotus. It's an upside down lotus in this picture, but the lotuses grow up out of the mud. They're survivors and go through hard things and still grow into something beautiful and unique. And I think that's a pretty good story of my life the last 15 years. So I also have a dragonfly on my ankle. I have a big butterfly on my back. I have a peace sign on my back. Yeah.
Nice.
Take it away.
Let me try. I'm going to fight it too. This is the big mandala that has a peace sign in the center and an Om symbol on my hand. You can see that. And then if I can turn my arm this way, you can see this is a tree of life done in chakra colors. And this is an amethyst crystal. And then this is my crow tattoo. Oh my God, this is so good.
I know.
But it's because the image is backwards for us. Mm-hmm. So I have the heart, the crow hearts like Katie does, but I put the sky from Starry, Starry Night around it because that was a piece of art our mom loved and it was always up in my parents' house. This is my son Michael's name in Elvish. I got this tattooed on me when we adopted him. And then this is my name in Elvish, Tangwar Sundarian, which is a language from the Lord of the Rings, if you're not a nerd, as I am. And then this is just a watercolor tattoo I had done over the top. And then you can see this is a Celtic knot heart that my wife and my son and I all have. This is a family tattoo. This is a dolphin with kind of some like Northwest Coast Indian Aleut type art work that I got when I graduated from college. And this is my kitty Spree, who passed away 2 years ago. She was 17. So this is a portrait of her with a big crown on of crystals and flowers and stuff. And then I have a butterfly on one ankle, and the other ankle is a tattoo that we all got when we went on a trip to Sedona right after our mom finished chemo for the first time.
Yep. Yeah. It's time for a new tattoo, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, we're going to get one, actually. We have some plans.
Yeah. So GSI wanted to know if our parents were still members. They were not. They were not. They had all, well, Christy left the church first, and then our younger sister, Kara, and then my parents and my husband and myself all left at the same time. Oh, gosh, 20, what's Mars now, 21? So about 20 years ago. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Though I really regret that mom died before she could get a tattoo. She wanted to and was super scared. And we all got tattoos for her after she died. But I really wish she had been able to do that too. She was a teacher. So our parents lived in Rexburg. And while they had left the church in name, in spirit, they never actually pulled their records. We live in a place where it's not just a religion, it's a culture. And in fact, I didn't do the official leaving the church stuff until this last year for myself and my family, because we all live here and people are, they can be funny and things aren't ever really a secret. And when my parents were still living, I never pulled my records because I didn't want to do something that would hurt them. And my mom was legitimately worried about her job as a teacher in the local school district. Our dad was a barber and had been for like 40 years and had a huge clientele of people that adored him. He would have been fine, I think, but he cut the hair of like all of the BYU-Idaho presidents and deans. And yeah, he knew all the tea in this town before anybody else did for many, many years. But at any rate, so they didn't do it for that reason. And so then my kids going up through the school system here, I didn't want to screw anything up for them either. So we stayed members on the rolls. We hadn't actually attended church in about 20 years, but until this last year, I finally went, there's really no reason for me to keep staying on their rolls. And I don't really want to, like, I'm not angry. I have no animosity, but I'm also not a believer and have no reason to stay a part of the church in that way. So I finally went ahead and did our paperwork. I had thought that because I didn't baptize my kids that they weren't members, but that isn't true. I blessed them, so they were. And so they were actually all kind of mad at me when I went.
They didn't realize that.
You need to sign this. Anyway, so I again, I'm not mad. I'm not hurt. I just don't believe. And I'm happier and thrive much better outside of the church. But, you know, I live in a town where the census calls it 100% LDS.
Which isn't true. It's a lie.
No, but a lot of people never take their names off the rolls. And so they will show up as being members, whether they really are or they aren't. But yeah. So anyway, I hope that answers your question. I have no problem talking about it whatsoever. We're not offended in any way. Yeah.
My wife left. My wife is 8 years older than me, so she was already out when we met. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sherry's asking if our spouses left at the same time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Scott, my husband was, he was just the quintessential do what you were told. You know, I was too, honestly. I mean, Scott and I started dating when we were 14. We got married when we were 19. And we've been married now for 27 years this in May, 28 years. Hell, I don't know. 28 years.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, I can't the math. But well, at any rate,
I just hit 25. So I think so.
Yeah. But we did all the things. We got married in the temple. We did all the things. And then after all of our babies were born, we started realizing much more how this was not where we wanted to be or needed to be. And a big part of that is because the church got so discriminatory against the LGBTQ community. And it's really confusing to have a church that's teaching you on one side that your family is supposed to be together forever and families are everything. And also throw those gay fuckers out. They, you know, and they've gotten a little bit better now, I hope. But boy, back in the 90s,
it was bad.
Yeah. And this is when the church had gotten really, really big in California on Prop 8, trying to destroy gay marriage, which they did do. And I was done. I was just all done. Yeah.
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 All righty. Well, I don't know about you, but I need to sleep before, we got to do this all again tomorrow.
Well, and don't forget, tomorrow court is adjourned at 3, so they'll probably adjourn at 3:15. Well, I guess. I don't know. But right at 3:30, there's a
hearing.
Motions hearing. No idea what it is. There was no other filing that would have told us what it was. So I'm wondering if there's just motions on both sides, some housekeeping that needs to be taken care of, that needs to be on the record. But yeah. Yeah. So yeah. We'll be back at 8:30 in the morning. And if Brenda's on the stand, oh, Brenda, dear God,
I don't know. I'm going to be sending her all the good vibes because, yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to see other groups that attack the hell out of her. Just know you're not going to see that here.
No.
Just not. But, you know, to each their own, I guess. But we just see it a different way. So, all right. We will see you all in the morning. We'll be back here at 8:30 a.m. This has been yet another production of the True Crime Squad.
Bye, everybody.